He'll do it. He'll help you. But I just quickly just heard, and I just X'd out my title and put it back the way I had it. You want to have a ticket to success? Do it Yahweh and not your way. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's life in general, the Christian life. It's all about Him. Amen. It's all about Him. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to start there. Joshua was second in command to Moses. Moses was a lawgiver, but he communed with the Father on the mountain. Joshua 1 and verse 8. You're familiar with this scripture. If not, you need to get familiar with it. You need to rise up in the morning with it, walk by the way, and lay down with it to get familiar with something. Amen. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law," God, remember now, Moses was a lawgiver. The law is holy. We're singing, Yahweh, holy is your name. The law is holy. It was given by a holy God of a man that was in a sin-destroying state. Right? "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe." When you do that day and night, you're going to see something. If you do something day and night, you better see something. Right? "That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous." We're singing about prosperity is mine. Victory is mine. Jesus is mine. You got to meditate on Jesus. He is the Word. To become victorious, to become prosperous, you got to meditate upon Him. You got to make Him yours. "You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." See, money's not making you prosperous. Jesus, the Word, is making you prosperous. And then you have good success. You can't revert the two. You can't look for success and not leave Jesus down here. And I'm just thinking about when I turned on my computer this morning, just to add to this message, I had Joshua 1:8. Why climb the corporate ladder to success when you can ride God's escalator instead? Would you rather climb or ride the escalator? You ever been to Carolina Mall? Any nice big mall? As a kid, you'd run up the escalator. It's not moving fast enough for you. As you get a little bit older, I'm kind of sitting back and riding a little bit now. Checking out those clearance sale signs down there. As a kid, you're not worried about that. You're just ready to get to the next thing when you're young, right? God will keep you young. I'm only as old as I feel. Right? Got to look on that inside man. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man, he's getting renewed day by day, stronger day by day. On my computer this morning, and it wasn't on there yesterday when I put the having your ticket to success, and it goes along with that little book we're going to get, How You Can Write Your Own Ticket by Kenneth E. Hagin. But still, when I opened up my computer, it changes screensavers. And here was a spiral staircase. It looked kind of like an escalator. It wasn't a spiral, but it was kind of going to a long spiral with this person walking up. I'm like, this is all God. This is all, I'm right on with what He wants to share today. So, because sometimes you're not sure if you are. Your mind's wrestling with your spirit. There's a battle going on. Why you want to climb that ladder to success? Why not let God take you there step by step? Amen? Step by step. That's prospering step by step. That's what prosperity is. It ain't just having it all, because you can get it all without God and you'll lose it all. Probably quicker than you got it. Amen. Because you got to have wisdom. You got to have a vision. Without a vision, the people perish. You got to have a vision. Only true vision comes from the vision maker, the God. He had a vision before He created this earth. He had a vision. He saw what it looked like before He said it. He saw Mark, Michelle, Jim, what they looked like before He even created them. And He said, it's all good. Amen. When you look in the mirror, you got to say, I'm looking pretty good. God said it is. Why should you say anything different?
That's right.
Right? I'm looking good. That's not pride. You're pleasing God. You're saying what He said. Okay? Just say what God says. Joshua 1 and 8, I want to read it to into the Young's Literal Translation. The book of this law doth not depart out of thy mouth, and thou hast meditated in it by day and by night, so that thou dost observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then thou dost cause thy way. See, a little bit different. You cause your way to prosper. Cause and effect. That's what happens. When I eat a lot of Bojangle biscuits, that's cause and effect. My belly getting a little bit bigger. I got to slim down a little bit. Cause and effect. Well, go to the spirit side of that. Word in, word out. I'm getting strong. Sherry said this about 3 weeks ago, and I just thank God for the message. The last message I did on the sovereignty of God talked about be still and know that I'm God. But she came up and shared that vision, I think, the week before. And it's just like the way God gave me these things and then what she shared. That morning she said God was so ministering to her on everything I was saying. It just came to me, talking about going to the fuel pump. And see, I can't even remember what I said, hardly. I can go back and listen to it. But it was what she needed to hear. Talking about having a self-service pump or a full-service pump. It all had to do with self. Well, I want it all. I want Jesus. I want it all. He's the full service. You go to Him. I don't want no self-serving pump. If I'm looking to self, this is what you get. What you see is what you get. But God looks at the inward man. He looks at the heart. And that's how we're going to prosper. When we take this word and we let it get in our heart and let it weed out all the stuff that the devil tries to put in there. But we let it. See, he tries to put in, but we're the determining factor, whether we let it in or not, whether we conceive it, believe it, conceive it, believe the lie. That was number one. Why climb the corporate ladder to success when we can get in there and ride God's escalator to the top? Number two, let's look in Proverbs. We'll stay right there in the Old Testament a little bit. Proverbs chapter 14. We started close there this morning out of the book of Psalms. Yahweh is the best way. Proverbs 14, verse 12. Two different scenarios here. Verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. I want to say, verse 14 says, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. I'm like, wow, that's pretty strong. But a good man, that's good too, but a good man will be satisfied from above. From above. To be born again means to be born from above. That's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus. Nicodemus is looking at all these things that Jesus is doing. How can you do this, Jesus? How can you? We know you're a man sent from God because nobody could do these miracles except God had sent them. Nicodemus was standing face to face with God in a flesh body, but he couldn't see. He couldn't understand. Jesus said, you can't even see the kingdom of God unless you be born again. And Nicodemus said, well, what's he thinking? You can't think of success on what you can do. You got to think on success on what God has done for you, given you Jesus. See, Nicodemus was looking at himself. How can a man be born again? Have I got to go back to my mother's womb and be born? And then Jesus loved him and told him to be born again means to be born from above. Born from above. What has God said? What has Yahweh said? He's above all, in all, and through us all. That's the way Jesus, that's the way the word was spoken. Jesus is the word. Everything was spoken by him, through him, in him. And he was the express image of God the Father here on this earth. And he still is. We got to keep that image alive on the inside of us of who Jesus is. Amen. That's where success is. That's where your healing is. That's where your hope is. It's in Jesus. It's in Jesus, not the baby. Thank God he was a baby. But he grew and he became a man. Anointed. Lewis was getting us stirred up this morning. He was saying, getting us to say, you're anointed. Say, I'm anointed. Because Jesus was anointed by God as a man. That's how we can say, it's not proudful to say I'm anointed. It pleases God when you say I'm anointed. That means something has been poured in me. The power of God, the power of life, the power of love has been poured into us. Man, that's awesome. God loves us that much. He has anointed us just like he anointed Jesus. It cost Jesus his life for that power to be poured, for that anointing to come upon us. Jesus had to die. Why did he have to die, Pastor? Because he had to destroy him who had the power of death. There is no death to a Christian. God is not the author of death. So how can we as a Christian, we got to quit thinking about death. And why am I talking about death? I've got an uncle that's with hospice right now, and there's probably some in this room that had to bring hospice in. And I was there. And I just went to visit. I knew hospice was coming. I didn't know they was going to be there. Now he's been a pretty heavy smoker all his life. It really broke me yesterday that the battle we're in. God hates death. He hates evil. See, death was never even in our curriculum. Amen? Because he's not the author of it. He didn't write the book about death. He wrote the book of life. And it just hurt me on the inside. And I love hospice. I'm not against hospice. Give me some grace here. I'm just saying all these things that was going to happen. Why does all this stuff have to be pumped into this body? God, I was just angry at death. Jesus hated death. He hated the devil. He hated evil because it destroyed mankind. God never created our body to get old, to die. That everything she was saying, I was filtering through my spirit. And yesterday it just got all on me. That God never, he's not the author of death. And for us to have to, for a loved one to have those chemicals come in, God never created it that way. He never created death. But he gives us the grace through it. And that's where his great love, wherein he loved us. And that's where it's hard sometimes as a Christian to be in that situation, because I don't have the words, but he does, to say at those particular times. And this is another God moment. I'm riding home with Rowan. As I went to go visit my uncle, I sit there and hospice was pretty much, this is the first time they were there and the immediate family was there. But you know what? I was coming in the door. I'm like, I need to be here. And I kept on walking. And I went over and I sat down right in the midst of them. You know what? That's what Jesus did. He went down and he sat down right in the midst of all the junk in this world. Amen. Of all the bad things, the bad news. And he listened. What makes you a good leader is a listener. You got to be ready to listen. And I listened to everything, and I seen my aunt have to take in and try to absorb all these things that she would have to do and be ready and be prepared. And I say, I thank God for hospice because they're a blessing. But to her and to him, this is not the way God created it. But on the way over there, I was asking the Holy Spirit, and I was asking God for wisdom. How can I share, Lord? What can I do? I mean, I have your words on the, I have miracles on the inside of me, and we've already prayed for healing to get the word. But you can't receive it for them. Everybody is standing and believing where they are, what they've heard. I'm standing here today on what I believed years ago, that I would stand here and preach God's word. But I didn't run up the ladder. I rode the escalator. I'm riding with God. Lord, what would you have me to do today? Today. Just focus on today. Don't get caught up in tomorrow. There's not grace for tomorrow. Grace is for today. Tomorrow's not never going to come because today. See, when tomorrow gets here, what is it? It's today. So why should you focus on tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. I want my uncle to so much see Jesus. Victory is in Jesus. That he never has to taste death. See, I don't want to taste death. That's a nasty taste. I want life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I don't want an aftertaste of death. We don't even think about death, even when it gets there. And I told my wife, I'm kind of going all around with this story, and I'll get back to this little things that are coming. When I had to go home and tell my wife, because she wasn't there with me particularly that day, I said, Jesus tarries and I go by the grave, I'm not going to be like that. We're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation. I'm going to eat supper, I'm going to go to bed, and I'm going to wake up with Jesus. We have power to speak life and death. In the Old Testament, the patriarchs, when they were getting ready to go, and my wife shared this with my uncle when she went to visit the next day or day after, that when the old patriarchs, when they were getting ready to go, Isaac, Jacob, they would call the family in and bless them and say, I'm getting ready to leave this world, and release the blessing. Man, how that means you got to quit focusing on yourself. You're releasing something you got. And they would pull their legs up and they'd go. Hey, get on out of here. See, God honors that. So I done told the Lord, when I know my times, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a meeting, and my wife's going to have a meeting because we're in agreement. Don't call me back. Because Jesus, she knows the power. We can raise the dead. When my time comes, I want to go. It's like we talked about the sword coming out of the sheath. That's how our spirit leaves our body. That quick. I don't want to suffer. And see, that's between you and God now. This is what I'm telling you, what my opinion is, what I'm believing. And that's a long time. I want a long, satisfied life. I've heard many generals out there in the faith went home to be with the Lord like that. Brother Charles Capps, Brother Oral Roberts, he didn't suffer long. I heard Oral Roberts, he was singing a song. Next thing you know, he laid down and he was gone. Singing a song. Amen. Set your faith when that time comes. But until that time comes, I mean, death, that's not in my hands. That's in God's hands. Because my son asked me, well, Dad, when's he going? I said, I don't know. That's not me. I'm not God. He's not the author of death, but he knows when it's coming. Because it's important for man once to die. I want to tell you something else about that story. It'll come back around to me. I jumped around so much. But just seeing that death, I hated it. And it's just an indignant. We're supposed to hate evil and the devil. Just hate it. God's way to success is the exact opposite of the world's way. And that's what we just read there in Proverbs 14:12. There's a way that seemed right to the man, but the end thereof is death. Your way or Yahweh? Your way or Yahweh? The other story. So I don't want to forget this. Rowan's not in here, though, is he? As I was asking God on the way over there, Lord, through the Holy Spirit, give me something to comfort my aunt, my uncle. Is there anything particularly that I can do? You know, I knew I had, the Lord would give me the word to say at the right time. And he did give me a scripture. Whatever is pure, whatever is holy, whatever is just, think upon these things. The Lord gave me just to share and pray with the family. But before then, I'm riding, and I'm going down there, and I heard mowing the yard. I'm like, mowing the yard? Man, I got to quit thinking about that. I mean, I got yards to mow. Well, I get there. I had to listen to hospice. She introduced their ministry, what they do. And so at the end, I pray with family. This is about 2 hours later because Rowan's at football practice, and I got to go pick him back up. So I just prayed, and then I left. I'm like, believing they would receive that word of encouragement. Well, then the next day, I called my mom. She's 80 years old, you know, because she lets me know things are going. I need to go visit. And she's so thankful for us, and this ain't giving just my family no pride here, but she's just so thankful that we as a family, we went through some bad stuff as kids, but we go out and we help each other. No matter if we are disagreeing about something, we go visit. And she was talking to me, and I told her that I went and visited Uncle Charles, and we were out there, and you know, things were, his body's not looking good, but you know what? Mom, don't look at what you see on the outside. Look at what you know on the inside. Remember him the way you knew him, but mainly remember that he's a Christian and he's going to leave this place. And I was asking some things. I asked Ann if there's anything I could do. You know, a lot of times they always say no, but there's always something there they'd want you to do. But you got to ask. You have not because you ask not. If you need something, ask. But Mom told me, but then she said, you know, she's even paying somebody to mow her yard. I'm like, what'd you say? Mom says, yes, she's paying Roger somebody to mow their yard. I'm like, stop right there, Mom. I just want to tell you how much God loves me and loves you and speaks things to us. I said, don't go tell Aunt Willie this, but before, on my way over there, the Holy Spirit on the inside of me said, ask her about the yard. See, that was God speaking to me. But I'm like, well, that has nothing to do with the Word. It has nothing to do with the Word of God, healing. But it has all to do with the Word of God. It's what she needs. Charles ain't going to be there. He's the one that mows the yard. He takes care of the house. I say this with love. Nobody in the family is mowing the yard. Why? Your way or Yahweh? What's more important? what you got to do, this churchyard gets mowed before my yard. I'm not saying that for pride. I'm saying that because I love God. Amen? I'm sorry, but I do. His things come before my things, and I thank Him for it. Because it's all because of Jesus. That's where my victory is. And I told Mom, I said, don't you tell Aunt Willie this, but this is what God told me. The Holy Spirit said, ask her about the yard. And I didn't do it, Mom, because I didn't. She said there wasn't nothing she needed. I just kind of brushed it off. And I got with Rowan on the way home, where we had a little conversation. I hadn't even told Mama this, because it's between me and Rowan. We don't want to do the mowing, right? Mama don't do the mowing. I'm talking about my wife now, so this is a conversation me and Rowan have because we do the mowing. Well, my mower's not really working that good right now. It's kind of, it's hanging in there. In other words, you got to have a mechanic. If the belt comes off, you got to know how to put it on, and I got some boys don't know how to put belts on. So I said, don't you tell Aunt Willene. I'm going to have a talk with Rowan, and we're going to see if we can, how his heart is. And I asked Rowan, I said, Rowan, I told him the story just like I told you guys. I said, now, Rowan, when I was your age, maybe a little younger, my grandpa, my mama's daddy, had emphysema. He worked in the mill, but he was a smoker, and he couldn't get outside anymore. Mama didn't ask me. Mama told me to mow the yard. That's okay. That's the way I remember it. I mean, it wasn't you mow the yard. No, Robert mow the yard, Papa. Yes, ma'am. See, that was her daddy. I was young. I could run and mow the yard with a push mower. I mean, I'm young. But he had a riding lawnmower, a nice one. Sears Craftsman Gray. It was in the basement. Man, I was 10 years old, man. That's like a Cadillac. I've never had a riding lawnmower. But I couldn't ride that lawnmower because I wasn't big enough yet. But he had a push mower down there. I'm like, okay. Your way or Yahweh. I wanted to ride that lawnmower. But I pushed my grandpa's yard for my mom because he couldn't get out anymore. He's not here with me no more. You know what? I'm sure he was thankful for that. He gave me cheer wines out of bottle. He always had me something to snack on in the house, something to eat. Mama always had some nice cakes. She baked cakes. He took care of me. Why should I not mow his yard? Amen. Rowan, I did this for my mom. What do you think? How would you feel about committing to Charles before he leaves this place? We go sit down with Uncle Charles and say, hey, Charles, could Rowan commit to mow the yard, take care of the yard for you when you leave this place for your wife? And he said, yeah, Dad, I think I can do that. Now, we're not talking about getting paid. I said, now, Rowan, we're not going to ask for the money. We just want to help. And he's okay with that, too. Amen. So he's committed, so now we're going to go present that. Now, we got something. The family's not going to be there. We're not looking to go in there with my chest all lift up. No, we're going to go, and we're going to offer this. I think God has talked to my uncle. I think it's something he's maybe worried about a little bit. And if I can take that burden from him and make him leave in this place just a little bit brighter, praise God, we're going to do it. And it ain't going to be just until maybe the funeral is taken. No, we're going to do it until as long as she's living. Amen. That's the commitment God told me to give. As long as my aunt is living, her yard's going to be looking good. Amen. But we're going to take care of the shrubs and stuff too. I think you'll have to go above and beyond what we should do, right? Go the extra mile. None of the kids know how to do the shrubbery, and I'm not that great at it, but I can fire that thing up and do some damage. This church is an example. Them bushes might not be exactly level, but we keep the growth down, right? Because my wife lets me know, you're a little bit. I'm like, okay, dear. Wasn't nobody standing back out there telling me, but you know. I think it was when the sweat was rolling through my eyes and I couldn't see and I stumbled. Thank God for wives. They're there to direct us and support us. And see, that's support. She's kind of letting me know, you dipped there a little bit. Thank God for Jesus. Your way or Yahweh? Did that fit in there pretty good? Because God's way to success is the exact opposite. See, that's the way you become successful, is helping somebody. They'll remember that. Amen. And it don't matter if it's Cam Newton or if it's somebody you don't know, somebody on the street smelling like wine and alcohol. I treat them the same. I'm just saying Cam Newton because he's very prosperous. To the world, that's success. I don't know his heart, but we know what success is. What if you lost it all? Would you still be successful? That's true prosperity. Is if you lost all that, do you still have Jesus? Amen. Because one day we got to throw all this stuff off. Are you going to hang on to it? We're going to get out of here. And then we're going to truly see what true prosperity is all about when we dance and walk on gold instead of try to put in our wallet. Thank you. I'm going to break dance on that city street. You ain't never seen me. I don't dance, but I think I'm going to do a break dance. Y'all know what break dancing is, don't you? Spinning around on your butt, on your head. And you watch me. Come watch me. It'll be on Easy Street where Paul is. No, was it? No, Paul wasn't on Easy Street. It is Easy Street now, but Straight Street. He's on Straight Street. I'm going to be breakdancing on Straight Street with the Apostle Paul. Amen. And he's going to be approving that message and approving that dance because it's all about Jesus. If you can't have fun in church, you might as well just not come to church, right? I'd say you're not in church if you ain't having fun. There's time to be serious. Jesus was serious, but he had fun. He had fun destroying the works of the devil. He had fun. He had destroying the works. God, let us be that church that continues to destroy his works. Amen. By mowing people's lawns, you can destroy the work of darkness. Y'all know my heart. You know what I'm saying. We never step in the way, but we never step out of the way. Never step in the way, but never step out of the way. Be ready. Be ready to do what God needs you to do with whoever it is. Family, friends, even your worst enemy. You mean I gotta love my enemy? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. James 4. Let me see here. James 4, 1 through 10. I'm going to read this quickly because I got a few more scriptures I want to get to. We're still focusing on that word stability. That was a word spoken as Miss Tammy was concluding the worship service. Stability. Stability. James 4, 1 and 10, talking about true success. From whence comes wars and fightings among you? James asking some questions. Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Family members, could we say? You lust and you have not, you kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war, yet you have not because you ask not. Asking about doing it your way or God's way. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enemy with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God, or the world's way of doing business. Now, I'm not saying there's Christian businessmen out there that's doing it right. They're helping somebody along life's journey. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusts to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Here's that word humble again. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What's that called? That's called humility. What has God said? What has he asked you to do? You need to submit and commit. Submit to God. Resist the devil. There's going to be some resistance coming when you submit to God. Resist the devil though, and he will flee. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Who's going to lift you up? He's going to lift you up. How are you going to get to that success? Your way, climbing the ladder, or do you want the escalator just to lift you on up? Lift you on. Oh, stop right there, Lord. I just saw something. Stop right there on that floor. Stop that escalator a minute. I just seen somebody down there. Somebody needs help. They're falling. Somebody's falling. They need help up. Stop. Stop that. Hit the emergency button and go down the escalator. See, that's the way up is down. Humility. The way up in God's kingdom is down. Helping somebody on the ground. Think about Ground Zero with our president. We watched that. God gave him, inspired him to get that when he picked up that George W. Bush bullhorn. When he didn't know what he, there was so much going through his mind. Think about the president of the United States of America. You're in war. You've lost civilians. What are you going to say? He heard from God. He was inspired with the boldness of the Holy Ghost. He said, I hear you. I hear you. And the people that did this are going to hear us. He didn't say me. He said us. See, that's evil. And we never submit to evil. We have to resist evil. And sometimes it means going to war. Physically. But we start with the war of our words. He said, I hear you. I hear you. Jesus says, I hear you. I hear you. and the devil is going to hear me. See, that's what we got to do. We got to resist him and say what God says. 1 Peter 5:5-7, we're going to close here. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the older, to the elders. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Don't be the subject. Don't always want to be the subject. Be subject to them. That's humility. That's listening. Submit yourselves unto the elder. Be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. That's something you got to put on. Clothed with humility. That's a jacket you got to put on. For God resists the proud. See, we want to stay humble because we don't want God resisting us. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That just goes to confirm. And it says, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in your time. No, in due time, not your time. Humble yourself under his hand, that he may exalt you in due time. There's a due time. And Tammy, this is why I got so excited. Number 4, I put, there is stability in humility. Amen. That's from God. That's what he wants you to hear. You can be stable. You can have success, but you've got to stay humble. There is stability in humility. That's where it all lies. That's the foundation, is humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. And that's the way to success. That's the way to be exalted. I said that was the last scripture. You ain't got to turn there. Proverbs 16:6-8. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's, you could say, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the fear. That's Jesus always honored the Father. Fear means to honor, give reverence. Reverence, honor Jesus is the way evil will depart. When people see you humble and doing what's right, it'll make them want to depart from what they're doing, from their pride, from their evil. Because it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. The goodness of God. When a man's ways please the Lord, he will make even those enemies we were worried about. I got to confront them. Well, you can, but there's another way. There's Yahweh's way. By mercy and truth, let the iniquity be purged, and honor and submit yourself, fear the Lord. Men will depart from evil. A man's ways please the Lord. He'll make even his enemies be at peace with him. I want that in my life. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without righteousness. In conclusion, how does a man please the Lord? How does a woman please the Lord? Come on, Word of Faith, people. By operating in faith. By operating in faith. We start out in Joshua. Don't let this word depart out of your mouth. If you'll put it in there day and night, night and day, you'll operate in faith. Because that means you're submitted to God, the author of this faith book. This is a faith book. Amen. It's my book. This is my book. You have to fight it for me if you want it. But if you steal my book, I'll actually give it to you. You come fight me for this book, I'll give it to you. Because I got this word in my heart. It's in my heart. See, if it's just right, if the word you have is just right here, the devil can steal it from you. Did you hear that? If the only thing you have is the hard copy, you're not stable. I got this in my heart. It's in my heart. The devil can't steal that. Soft copy. Amen. That's right. Hard copy, soft copy. And it can be duplicated. Amen. This copy can be duplicated. The more I duplicate, the more I get. Amen. I like that. I like that. Praise God. There is stability in humility. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this message today. I thank you, Lord, for our hearts that have retained what you gave us this morning, Lord. Some of us came in here, Lord, with half-empty plates. Some of us might have come in with an empty plate this morning, looking for that plate to be filled. So, Father, I just thank you right now that you are the sustainer of life, you are the provider of life, and that's all you have to give is life. That, Lord, those that might be dealing with death, Lord, I lift up my aunt and my uncle to you right now, Father. I thank you, Lord, for giving me what I can give to them. But Lord, I thank you. I pray right now, Father God, that he don't have to suffer through this death, through the death of this body, Father God, that, Lord, he can see you, Jesus, as the author of life. And Lord, you give us grace for living and grace for leaving. So I just pray right now that he would receive that, that Aunt Willene would receive that, Father God, and for him to slip out of that body and walk right into the glory, walk right into your glory. And Lord, I'd also pray with my wife, in agreement with my wife, that he would bless his kids, that he would bless his grandkids. Before he leaves, Lord, let him know that he has words of life to release to his family. Those words of life, Lord, that are on the inside, they're in his heart. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I just pray, just like Lewis stirred us up, that you'd stir those words up in Uncle Charles's heart right now. That they would rise to the top, those words would rise to the top, and he could release words of faith and life to his family. Words of hope if they're not saved. In Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for this word today, that people's lives are being changed right now as we sit here, Lord. And I pray for those that are listening, that would catch this by radio, by internet, that, Lord, if they don't know Jesus, that, Lord, there's no stability in their life if they don't have Jesus. Lord, we pray right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that they would ask him to come into their life. All you have to do is ask. If you will call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Bible says you'll be saved. So we just believe for your salvation right now that the words that we speak go onto a CD, go onto the internet. They're words of life, just like God spoke. And we release words of life this morning through the airways, that today is a day of salvation. Don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow might not be here for you. Jesus wants you today. He wants you saved today. He wants you healed today. He wants you living today. And Father, we just thank you for that by faith. We believe and we receive those into the kingdom of God that hear this message, Lord. It's your message. It's your way, not our way. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise for it. And everybody say it. Amen. If you need